I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, we're going to have a show that's going to be jam-packed with information, so if you're new to ET Yoga, you might want to have a paper and pen handy to jot down some notes and enable you to do some research on your own after the program. And tonight's program, we'll be talking about a new slant on karma. We'll be talking about dealing with difficult people. We'll be talking about reality creation, and I've got a hot tip tonight that I think just might be the key for a lot of our listeners who have been kind of really close to being successful with their manifestations, but just haven't quite been able to turn the corner. And in my estimation, this little bit of information, which won't cost you a dime, just a question of a little bit of effort, could be one of the top five things you've ever heard on radio. So we'll see if that's the case. At any rate, before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the show in the usual way by having a little bit of Japa yoga, and that'll be in the form of a short clip from Swami Satchidananda. And he'll be leading a little bit of Hari Om mantra meditation. So if the guys in the booth would play that now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is, and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for those new listeners to ET Yoga, I usually mention that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as possible. And actually, I've had a number of people contact me concerning the fact that they appreciated that I kind of make that comment. And I'm going to expand a little bit on that this evening because of questions from our listening audience. And by the way, I much appreciate the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. And as Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference just by being you, and other people become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. And I would also like to mention that information comes usually fast and furious on this program, and if you would like to have a listen to the archives, they're usually available about a day or so after the program. Easiest way to do that is go to my website at etyoga.com, and on the main page there's a button there called Radio Archives. Hit that one button and you'll go to about the last 10 shows or so, and they're all listed by the date of the program. And I might also add that my latest book is there available on that website as well, and it's called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. So if you like ET Yoga, you might like the book too, and $9.95. So throw a little plug in there for that. There's other items there as well that you might want to take a look at, and that's at etyoga.com. And if you ever want to contact me about any questions or comments, you can also always do that at my email site, which is paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I much, much appreciate hearing from people who have had success utilizing techniques or ideas, concepts that they hear on the program, and nothing makes my day more than to hear from the listening audience concerning that. And you can also write to me concerning program content as well, and I will be responding to your requests. And on this topic of mainstream medical, I appreciate that what I do in my life is it's not for everybody, and everybody's circumstance is different, and your own health situation is no doubt unique to you. But from my own personal way of thinking, health is one of the most important things in life and one of the most valued things in my life. And I much appreciate some of the information that I've received over the course of years, from yoga teachings as well as extraterrestrial information. And Bashar has clearly been instrumental in a lot of new information. And when I first heard about his basic core concepts of health, which included pure water, good oxygenation of the in your system, exercise, getting off of meat, working towards vegetarian and vegan diets, detoxing, and eliminating stress as the core foundation, I was actually quite surprised to find out how many people do some of those things, but rarely do people do all of them. So I highly, highly recommend those as a foundation. And with respect to distancing myself from mainstream medical, I've been very successful in that endeavor. And some of the things that would concern me the most about being involved with mainstream medical would be that I think in time it probably messed me up in some form or other, because there seems to be this propensity to have people on pills, and a lot of people that I talk to are taking multiple pills, like on average about 8 or 10. And I don't think that that I'd ever be interested in taking a pill. And I'm also not interested in taking any vaccines. And so it kind of would be kind of a sore spot for me to be involved in that kind of a system. And I might add that at healthwise.com, noticed some interesting information about the Amish. And the Amish diet consists of eating organic, fresh, locally grown produce. And, of course, they do not follow the established vaccination routines. And to the dismay of mainstream media and the medical establishment, this has resulted in a healthier people who are void of all of our chronic diseases. Heart disease, cancer, and diabetes are virtually non-existent in Amish villages. Equally non-existent are our modern chemically engineered medicines, enhanced chemically engineered foods, GMO, genetically engineered food, and, of course, the vaccines. And apparently among about, I don't know, 60,000 or so Amish children, there have only been 3 verified cases of autism in the Amish community, and 2 of those 3 were vaccinated. This correlation between vaccines and autism is becoming undeniable. And the latest statistics that I heard this week were from Harvard University, were predicting that by 2025, 1 in 2 kids would have autism. We're talking about 1975, it was 1 in 5,000. And just wanted to throw that out there because I know it seems to be controversial. I would like to support definitely Robert Kennedy Jr.'s position on this matter. And if you're interested in further research, I highly would recommend him as a source of information. He's got several YouTubes out, and he's very passionate about the topic. I should also point out that my personal opinion, I kind of even go back to the Native Americans and the medicine man. And Native American medicine refers to the combined health practices of over 500 distinct nations that inhabited the Americas before the Europeans arrived at the end of the 15th century. And specific practices varied among the tribes, but all native medicine is based on the understanding that man is just part of nature and health is a matter of balance. And of equal importance is the patient's choice to heal. And patients' preferences are always honored. To disregard them or ever use subtle force could never effectively establish harmony. And I might note as well that the Lakota, Dakota, Cheyenne, and among other tribes are direct descendants of the Pleiadians. And definitely reflects my particular philosophy about health, as well as the fact is from various sources like Barbara Marciniak and several other people that I've learned about healing and learned about the source, actually, of disease. And it all, to me, my way of thinking, stems around the whole concept of dysfunctional emotion or blocked emotional energy. And thus, Also, I just not only take the position of distancing myself from mainstream medical, but also do a lot of positive things that have picked up over the years that I think contribute to my ability to distance myself. And some of the things that I do kind of on a regular basis are clearly the yoga asanas, qigong practice. I've started to do sun gazing. I do Egyptian healing rods, pranayams. These kind of practices, to me, they don't take very much time but are very effective. Also, Pleiadian spinning and pillar of light techniques. And on a regular basis, at least on a yearly basis, I try to do thorough detoxing. And I've started recently in the last month or so to daily do coconut oil as far as it's called oil pulling. And you just put a tablespoon of coconut oil in your mouth and let it sit there for 20 minutes and spit it out. And it does wonders for eliminating toxins from your system. Regularly, on a yearly basis, I use the bentonite clay to remove metals. And I'm finding that I also really like to do Dr. Schultz's detox programs for liver, kidney, and colon. And that's from the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. So, I just want to share some of those things because I find that the combination of all of them has been very beneficial to me. Now, I mentioned at the top of the show that I thought I had a piece of information that I think might just turn the corner for a lot of people with respect to their reality creation. And if you're new to ET Yoga, you should know that one of the basics of ET Yoga is this whole concept around belief. And how powerful belief is. And in point of fact, it's our beliefs, our definitions, our emotions, and our intentions that create our outer reality. And I think one of the concepts that came also from Esther Hicks was that everything that anyone experiences in this reality is in response to the story they are telling. And I think that's really, really important. And in fact, she says that the trick is to care more about how you feel. Tell a story about your life, not the way it is, but the way you want it to be until you believe the new story. And I think one of the things that gets in the road of a lot of people's reality creation is constantly going over old attachments. And it kind of turns out that if something's not working, it's always the same problem, is that you're throwing resistance on your own trail and not realizing you're doing it. And the vehicle is negative emotion. And when we keep going over some of those things in our life, I mean, it's nice to go over a lot of the positive things that happened in life, but I think too many people tend to keep going over those negatives. And when you keep running the same thought pattern, I mean, what is a belief but a practice thought, one that you constantly repeat? And becomes a belief, becomes a response, becomes an emotion. And so when you're doing reality creation and you're trying to create something positive, you kind of create a standoff between some of these old beliefs that you haven't let go of and what it is you're trying to create. And so the tip is actually comes from Bashar. And he's noticed that in Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, the second movement, It's the first 3 minutes. And he's noticed that this is a download from higher consciousness to Beethoven. And I'll quote now from Bashar that this particular piece of music is of the appropriate vibration to allow you to be in the proper state to attract whatever information, healing, situation, people, or opportunities that you require. It also deals with the issues of letting go, forgiving the self, and the letting go of grief and regret. This will allow you to let go of all those things, thereby allowing you to work with your vibration and in this way forgiving yourself and thereby becoming more whole. These chords are exactly, precisely, what will tap into the idea of your letting go of the past, sorrow, grief, regret, and the forgiving of yourself. Thereby having you move toward the vibration that will attract you to whatever information is relevant, which will allow you to be in the healthy state that is your birthright. And I've listened to this in a couple of different frequency modes, and actually it was just earlier today that I actually found a 30-minute loop of this Beethoven's 7th Symphony, 2nd Movement, at the 432 hertz frequency, and it was highly, highly effective. Hard to actually put it into words. So that's my tip, and I really think that it could be a very, very important factor for many of our listening audience to ET Yoga. And I'd now like to move on to a different take on the whole concept of karma, because karma has been very strongly linked with the idea of synchronicity and very much a representation of what we have termed the fourth law of what you put out is what you get back. And for many generations on this planet, the concept of karma has been linked with the idea of punishment, retribution, and vengeance. But really, according to Bashar, that is not what it is about. It is more the idea of balancing, of recognizing that if you are putting out a vibration, putting out an idea, putting out a behavior that is out of alignment with what you prefer, with who you prefer to be in your heart of hearts, that you are always given an opportunity to bring that energy back into alignment, back into balance. And in that sense, karma really is a guiding mechanism to allow you to be capable of failing. And when you're out of tune, out of alignment, and that vibration of feeling out of alignment, the karmic vibration in that sense, thus, is your guidepost, is your marker, is your alignment tool. It lets you know when you have, in a sense, strayed outside the boundaries of the vibration that represents your natural self, your true self, the vibration that you prefer to be, and allows you to sense and to feel when you're out of alignment with that, so that you can give yourself the opportunity to recognize that and to always know that you are being guided by that vibration. And thus then, if you so desire, if you so prefer, if you so choose to bring yourself back into alignment by recognizing the vibration as being something other than what you prefer. And I think that's a really, really important take on this whole idea about the word karma. And I might add that as a student of Swami Satchidananda, he also taught karma yoga, or what he called the yoga of selfless service, as part of six branches that he termed integral yoga. And he has stated that the real karma yoga means sacrificing your attachment to things It is the letting go of I, me, and mine. And the moment you achieve this, you'll be enlightened. That's according to Sri Swami Sachidananda. He says, you don't own anything in this world. You're just using it. And that includes family. And he gives an example of take a miser who wants more and more out of his business. There is an anxiety that develops, and it pollutes the business. You need a detached person because the mind is more composed. The selfish mind will always be agitated. And when you perform action without a thought for the result, you free yourself from the ego that binds you. And that is performing karma yoga. And according to Sri Swami Sachidananda, keep your peace at all costs. As he says, even if you attain the world, you won't be able to enjoy it if you lose your peace. Pretty good advice, I'd say, from the great Swami Sachidananda. And I might also say that when it comes to information, that much appreciate certainly Bashar's take on so many different topics. And one of our listeners brought up a question about dealing with irritating people or irritating family members, and also about setting up some personal boundaries. And so, I guess, I have had enough personal experience with that type of situation. And I guess as a general rule, if I was asked to share, you know, what I've kind of learned about that, usually I find that what irritates us is a reflection of something we don't like about ourselves as a general rule. Something you may not even be aware of. And I guess that the idea here would be to at least, as a starting point, to see what kind of belief you have about the situation that you're not aware of. And if you have an emotional response, it's based on some definition. So you have to own it to change it. And this is just giving you a signal. It's a negative emotion that is generated by a negative belief. So what would you have to believe in order to experience this situation? What kind of beliefs or definitions are you buying into? Because the outer circumstance is inherently neutral. Now, if you're pretty clean about that investigation, and it's just because of, I guess it's pretty hard to disassociate from certain relatives or family members. I think a good thing to do is if somebody is being irritable, is to try to communicate in a way that at least you're not making assumptions that are erroneous. And I've always found that, assumption is the mother of all screw-ups. And that one good technique to utilize if somebody will go along with the idea is if you've got two different points of view on something, to be able to even spend a minute or two with each other actually stating the other person's position on the topic. So at least you can agree to disagree. And I know I have a close friend that if the topic of religion comes up, this is a topic that we just don't go there. And so in every other aspect, we have a lot of common ground, but we just agree to disagree concerning our positions on that particular subject. And I might also state that from my own personal experience, that one of the things that's important to always keep in mind, as Sachin Ananda would say, is to always keep your peace. I mean, if something's getting to you to the point where you're losing your peace over it, then you're going to have to do your own inner work on that aspect. But at the same time, you should also always remember that you try to keep the door open, especially with family members, but at the same time, they need to still show respect. And when I'm looking at setting up personal boundaries, I think it's vital to learn to respect and honor ourselves so that we can awaken to the need to have boundaries that let other people know that we deserve and demand respect. And I also think that after a troubled relationship, I think it's sometimes good to be able to privately send positive energy to that person. And if you can't, it shows that you have a problem of some kind to deal with. And also be aware that if you choose not to interact or have that person's interactions in your life, you also have that right as well. And I think sometimes it could come down to a point of stating that and being specific that in communicating to someone that you're considering eliminating from your current reality is to be specific and state that, you know, when the person does this, and be specific that you feel this way and you would want to have this happen, and since you're powerless over the other person, that you might have to take a certain particular action if the behavior continues. So in point of fact, I think it all does come down to compassion a little bit, because we've all been in at different stages of progression along a spiritual journey, and it's not for us to really judge other people, so eliminating judgment here is probably a good idea, kind of tough to do. And I might also add that in my own personal experience, some people tend to be, I think, a bit too nosy, asking personal questions that, and I have no problem whatsoever in either telling somebody that it's not of their concern or totally ignoring what it is they're saying. So I hope that might give you some ideas on dealing with some people that have been particularly irritating. I want to now share with you, it's a hot night for Bashar, and because of his latest little bit of information concerning physical reality. And he states that physical reality isn't by itself real, except the experience of it is. Physical reality and everything you experience in your life is created, whether you know it or not, whether you're conscious of it or not, through what you imagine your reality to be. Your beliefs, obviously, your definitions, obviously, play a part. Your emotions play a part. Your thoughts play a part. But it is your beliefs, your emotions, and your thoughts that all wrap together into the triangle of your personality prism. And once it locks together in that triangle is the template of the imagination that activates your reality. That's the conduit through which you send those beliefs, definitions, emotions, and thoughts up to the realm of the higher self, where manifestation is immediate and instantaneous and energy is all-pervasive. Then the higher self, the higher mind, sends that thought, reflects it back through the imagination to the physical mind, and gives it to you in terms of the passion of your true self, so that by simply acting on it, by simply following your passion, the higher self lets you know that this is the wish you have sent and translate it into the language of the higher mind. So you do it and act it out, and you will be speaking the language of the higher mind. You will be blended and harmonized as the physical mind and the higher mind into the holistic being, one holistic person that can then reflect that relationship into manifestation in an imagination reality that is being created by you. It is just a mirror. That's all it is. It's just reflecting back what you imagine it can be. That's all it is. And that comes from Bashar. And an interesting kind of fact he also mentions about the imagination is that he says that all that can be imagined is real. And that right now, someplace in the infinite multidimensional multiverse, in a parallel dimension of space and time, it literally and physically exists. Similarly, physical as this physical reality does exist. And I think that's really a kind of a cool thing, that physicality really exists in the infinite quantum soup. But we get to experience only what we are the vibration of, what's relevant to our chosen path or theme of evolution and exploration and existence. But anything that you can imagine is real on some level. Comforting to know. And I should also want to briefly mention, because I guess over the course of years, this is a subject that it can be very controversial, but according to Barbara Marciniak, Channeling Pleiadian Information, all the religions were created by the Anunnaki, and you can view, according to her, Sunday services as club meetings of the Anunnaki. And further, the symbol of the cross is a symbol of the crossing planet Nibiru, and that's inhabited by the Anunnaki. And according to Barbara Marciniak, author of Bringers of the Dawn, the final rites given by the priests includes a passing of the cross over the chakras, which shuts them down, and next you find yourself in an Anunnaki recycling chamber. Now, this to me is a very concerning point, because as tolerant as I'd like to be of, you know, of all people's point of view, this is a pretty serious situation. And I've heard this now from three different sources, and I would throw this out to the ET Yoga listening audience to do your own research, because I've heard the similar thing from Alex Collier, who channels the Andromedan civilization. I've also heard it from Simon Parks, who's connected with Mantis and Draconian. And I've heard it from Barbara Marciniak. And apparently, the reincarnation recycling or reincarnation, the whole process has been compromised and been that way for quite some time. In fact, Simon Parks, he even gives information that it's kind of like a force field or an energy field around the Earth, and that there are holes in it now. He's hoping that the situation would get better. But in point of fact, there are a few tricks that are being played on people after the death experience. And I know in North America, there seems to be, kind of a cognitive dissonance or a state of denial among many people with respect to even the whole concept of reincarnation. But from Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, he states, as for one person, that the early Christian church accepted the doctrine of reincarnation, which was expounded by the Gnostics and by numerous church fathers, including Clement of Alexandria, the celebrated Origen, and that's both 3rd century, and St. Jerome, 5th century. And the doctrine was first declared a heresy in A.D. 553 by the Second Council of Constantinople. And there isn't any doubt in my mind that the concept of reincarnation is fact. And one of the tricks apparently that's being played is that we've been always led to believe that after the death experience is to go towards the light. Apparently that's one of the tricks that the Anunnaki play to get them, to get the people to follow them to this recycling center. Sometimes they even, because they can take the form of any being that they like, they can sometimes impersonate a family member, take advantage of some of your maybe a religious beliefs or whatever your beliefs are with respect to the most effective way to suck you into their system. And one of the suggestions by not only Alex Collier, but Simon Parks as well, is to actually consciously program in your mind that when you do move on from this body, that you return to source energy. And so actually what one of the things I do on a daily basis now is I always say I effortlessly intend upon death to go to source energy. And for me, that would be the my wish or choice. And I also do not feel personally that I need an intermediary between me and my higher self or whatever concept we want to use for God consciousness. I like the medical establishment. I have no particular interest or inclination towards organized religion. And I think this is a topic that certainly bears investigation for everyone to make up their own mind concerning the facts here. Much appreciate anyone in our listening audience that has more information other than from Alex Collier, Simon Parks, or Barbara Marciniak concerning this whole process. If they can contact me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca, I would much appreciate that as well. Because to me, it's one of those things that as I know, as longtime listeners of ET Yoga, I think people that are longtime listeners know that I certainly try to be accurate with information that I present on this program, and that I'm very much open to other points of view or in additional information that supports some of the concepts that I actually bring out. And I might also just pass on to the listening audience, while Bashar seems to be the hot topic, if you hadn't heard about Bashar's cancer cure, he suggests organic asparagus, avocado, and walnuts. And if you're looking for other ways to deal with that issue, I can also suggest Powdarco tea, and it's also called Tahibo. And I know Earl B. Hall used to provide this product, and I know that there have been a lot of research at Tokyo University concerning Powdarco tea. You can also check out apricots, which are highly effective, grape seeds, mega doses of vitamin C, the Hoxicure, the Budwig diet, which was flaxseed oil and cottage cheese, baking soda, which I know is used quite a lot. You see a lot of YouTube articles concerning baking soda. And I know Earl B. Hall even suggested and went into business with related to MMS from Jim Humble. So if you're looking for some alternate ways to deal with that issue, you might check some of that out and see if it resonates with you. And in kind of review of some of the topics that we've gone over this evening, I really look forward to anybody that's having positive experiences doing that, listening to Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, Second Movement. We're interested in audience feedback. So if you do try that particular method, I'd be much appreciative of you contacting me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca concerning any of your successes in that regard. And I'd like to now share a little bit from Marilyn the Magician concerning floor power. Well, now you're reawakening to and remembering the power you possess. Know that in your unfolding, you are never alone, even if you choose to go it alone. You're always connected, even when you feel disconnected. In the 60s and 70s, flower power reigned in the new millennium. It is floor power, or the power of the endless flow of love. What is flowing from you is what matters, because your thoughts and feelings become matter. Feeling good is all that matters, because all matter is made from what you feel. It matters how you impact others, not so much how others impact you. Pay attention to how you are flowing energy rather than how it is being flowed to you. If you choose to concern yourself or be bothered by conditions around you, you are surrounding yourself with more of the same. What you love or fear, you draw to you. Why not weave a web of wonder rather than worry? You are the designer of your destiny in every moment. You're the center of the universe. Dare to adventure into whatever thrills and excites you. Dance with your destinies as you define and design what they are. Consider your wants, then name them to claim them. After you identify your desires, get your energy flowing in the same direction. Everything responds to your thought processes. All physical manifestation is evidence of how you have been flowing your feelings. If you are feeling blue, you are not being true blue to you. When you feel bad or blue, this is not you. If you are enthused, excited, or energetic, you are right on course. That is your inner guidance saying yes. Listen within for when you are beaming who you are. Life is bliss. Take this journey to the heart to experience the feeling of having it all and not wanting for anything. You return to the source of your limitless power when you see only that which you want to see in your experience. Turn your cheek, so to speak. Seek only that which you want to find. Through your focused attention, be it on a thing, real or imagined, comes the process of creation. And that's from Marilyn the Magician. And if you're not familiar with Marilyn and Merlin the Magician, you can go to the Creating Camelot Club. Very, very interesting website. And as usual about this time in the ET Yoga broadcast, I like to give my sincere best wishes towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'll close out the program this evening by sharing with you some information about the Who Am I technique. And I first came across this information actually from Baba Ram Dass, and still highly recommend his book, Be Here Now, Now Be Here. And he actually was interviewed by a paper in Vancouver, British Columbia. It's called the Georgia Strait. And and I don't know if that paper still exists anymore, but I was reading it and saw the Who Am I technique there for the first time. And shortly thereafter, also found the technique in the book by Sri Ramana Maharshi called The Path of Self-Knowledge. And Sri Ramana used to give this technique to his students, and I think it's it can be a highly, highly effective technique. And the Who Am I technique is called the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A, and it kind of goes like this. You take and put your full focused attention in your third eye or your ajna center, and you are becoming that spot. And clearly, the more focused you are and the more fully focused you become that spot, the more effective this technique can be. And then you ask the question, who am I? And as it turns out, I is the first thought to appear and the last thought to disappear. So what you're kind of doing here is an interesting process of working toward an experience. And that experience can start off with you asking the question, who am I? And you can do it several times, a few times, one time, at any frequency or speed or rate that seems comfortable for you. But making sure that you are focused on becoming that spot between your eyebrows. And then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.